The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
A recent survey by Drinkaware has reported that the average age to have your first drink of those who are currently under 34 is 14. Now, on the other hand, if you're over 50, the average age that you started drinking at is reported to be 17. So clearly it's getting younger and younger that people have their first drink. Now, to talk about the impact of all of this on your physical and mental health, we have the director of Women's Inspire Network, Samantha Kelly, and consultant endocrinologist and senior lecturer in the Bonscours Barrington's Hospital, Dr. Mary Ryan. Good morning and welcome to you both. We go to you, Mary, first of all, and what difference physiologically it makes as to what age you have your first drink at?
Well, I suppose, Pat, we it's all about social drinking. The trouble with the research is showing that the earlier you start, the more likely you're to drink more and also do damage to a body that hasn't fully developed. So people mightn't realise, but alcohol is a fantastic social thing to have once it's not in excess. The problem is when it is in excess, and if you're binge drinking, a lot of people don't realise that binge drinking means for women drinking four or more drinks, for men drinking five or more drinks. Now, we all know that when people go out young, they do a lot more. And you see the toxic metabolite of alcohol, acetaldehyde, builds up in the liver and causes problems to a lot of organs, not just the liver, can cause cirrhosis down the road, but it dilates the heart muscle and you get this dilated cardiomyopathy. And we see patients as young as their 30s with, cardiac heart failure for life as a result of this. It can damage their pancreas. They can get diabetes. We know it causes abdominal obesity. That in addition causes heart disease, and it can also damage the brain. And this toxic metabolite can also cause problems with nerve endings because of B12 and B6 malabsorption. So there's all these problems that you get as a result of binge drinking. I think children not being educated, or young adults not being educated about what's normal, what's abnormal. I know when I'm talking to these people, they look at me when I say it's above five, that you can't do any more than that. They would say to me, but 12 is the normal for us. So that's a big concern. And I suppose it's a big health concern as well that they've extended the hours of drinking as well, because these are young, impressionable young people.
No, I wouldn't expect that the 14-year-olds, and if we're talking about the under 34 is their average starting age, or even if you have a drink at 12, you're not going to be out at 5 in the morning.
Well, you would hope not, Pat. You would hope not.
You know, so those extensions might not affect. Now, I can think of some extensions where it might, you know, if you can access drink on a Sunday, for example, at hours where heretofore you could not. But anyway, going back to the physical effects and mental effects we can talk about as well, the physical effects, we've always been told that the liver is a great organ for regenerating itself. If you do give up the sauce, or, for example, if you've had type A hepatitis, jaundice or whatever, that after a certain length of time, your liver is, you know, back to normal.
Yes, but it's over time. I mean, the acetaldehyde toxicity is over time will do damage to the liver, and it will damage, and you'll get excess. The liver just can't keep up, basically. So while it's a great organ, you do damage the liver. You get a thing called alcoholic hepatitis initially, and then that can go on to do permanent nodular cirrhosis or cirrhosis of the liver. So we're not trying to scaremonger here, Pat. What we're saying is it's all very well. We encourage social drinking, treating it respectively, but it is a drug, and when you drink excessively, you can damage organs like the liver, who are fantastic at dealing with normal amounts of alcohol. But when you go to that in excess, the liver just can't keep up, and then you get this hepatitis, then nodular cirrhosis, and then full blown cirrhosis, which damages the liver. But other organs, as I said, the heart, people forget about the heart. It dilates the heart. It can cause arrhythmias, and it's one of the biggest causes of atrial fibrillation, a dilated heart, because you interfere with electrical system in the heart. So there's all those problems that
you
get.
Mary, if you're trying to tell, say, a 14-year-old that you might get cirrhosis of the liver when you're 35, that's like 100 to them, you know. So far in their future, they don't take those messages seriously.
Yeah, well, I think what I've been saying instead is I'm you know, encourage sensible alcohol, but treat it as a drug. It is a drug. It's wonderful. It's a social thing. It's lovely to be able to have a social drink, but treat it with respect and don't, you know, don't binge drink. Don't drink in excess and be aware. Be aware. I think it's to create an awareness in that young adult of what's safe. You want them to have a long life till they're 90. You're not putting them off alcohol. You're just saying to be drink aware and to drink safely that you're not going to
come across people who've substituted alcohol with something else, with cocaine or hash or whatever. In other words, some of them are calorific conscious, so they don't want to destroy the body beautiful by you know, obesity. So their drug of choice is not alcohol anymore. It's something else.
Yeah, and unfortunately, drug use among young adults, it has increased hugely and quite shockingly so, actually. And cocaine being one of them, as you mentioned. And, you know, we deal with it all the time in the hospitals. And often you can be quite shocked when you get the blood results you wouldn't expect it. It's dreadful. And as you said, the studies have shown, actually, that recent study that I just read has shown that instead of alcohol, a lot of them are substituting for illicit drug abuse. And again, it's all about knowing what would the harm these can do. And that's where it's so important to educate. Yeah. That I personally would prefer people to be having a drink of alcohol and be respecting it as opposed to drug use. Yeah.
A child was found, you know, teenager or whatever, and they've collapsed or whatever, and the parents found out they had, you know, half a shoulder of vodka, whatever, in double quick time, they might be relieved that it wasn't something else.
Yes. Yes, yes. I regularly tell my own children the problems, and I've dealt with all the time of ecstasy and of all these drugs. People don't realise that one tablet can kill you. We see it. We see it in the ICU. I've always told my own children about the horror stories of multi-organ failure that we see with just one tablet. So you could be just so unlucky and get that one tablet and kill you. So, you know, it's very much creating that awareness among young adults so they can make the correct choices, that these drugs are dangerous and they can kill you. And I'd much prefer that they do use a healthy alcohol respectfully and be drink aware and know what they can drink sensibly and enjoy themselves, but not to ruin their life and shorten their lifespan by having liver, heart damage, brain damage, you know, all the vitamin B12, B6 deficiencies, pancreas damage, and as a result get type 2 diabetes, which causes all sorts of problems with eyes and kidneys, etc. So I would be much happier to get that message across to young adults, you know, drink aware, have an awareness of healthy drinking, but know that if you do it in excess, and what is excess drinking, to get that message across to them, that then they're going to damage their heart, all their organs, and we want them to have a long, healthy life. That's what we're all about. We're only going through this life once. Let's make it a healthy one.
Now, before I let you go, Mary, you are organising a conference in Limerick?
Yes, an Empowerment and Equality Conference in the University Concert Hall in Limerick tomorrow, 9:30 to 3:30. We've loads of young adults there as well, which is wonderful, and we've loads of the public, but tickets are still available in the Concert Hall in Limerick, and would love you all to come. We've amazing lectures like Dr. Tony Humphreys, Una O'Hagan, Laura Dowling and Aidan O'Brien, a great motivational speaker. So loads and loads of brilliant people coming along, but would love you to join us and get your tickets in the University Concert Hall. Only €30, including lunch. It's for nothing. So come and have a good day and empower yourself and enjoy yourself.
Very good. Dr. Mary Ryan, consultant endocrinologist, senior lecturer at the Bonscour Barrington's Hospital in Limerick. Thank you very much. Now, listening to all of that, Samantha Kelly, director of Women's Inspire Network, herself a mother and someone who had issues with alcohol, it's fair to say. Good morning, Samantha.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, can you remember what age were you when you had your first drink?
Actually, I do. I was 15 and it was my grandparents' 50th wedding anniversary. And one thing I noticed was I was actually terrified the next morning because my auntie was drinking vodka. So every time I went up to get her a vodka, I was very helpful. I said I'd get her vodka and then I got myself one, you know. So it was like so acceptable because of the culture that we have here in Ireland. You know, it was a party. It was a get together. It was a family occasion. And I got absolutely legless. And the next morning I was like, I felt awful. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to be in such big trouble. But I wasn't. You know,
you didn't get into trouble for that. So they knew you were legless. They knew you'd had a few at the age of 15. Now, I know the reason that I don't smoke and never have smoked was because when I was a young fella, myself and my brother and a pal bought 10 Woodbines. And yeah, I had four. My pal had four. My younger brother had two. We were only, I just maybe 10 or 11 or something like that. And we smoked them on the trot. We lit one from the other. And I got so violently ill that I never smoked again, ever. So I'm just wondering, did that experience of being legless at 15 not have you waking up the next morning saying, I'll never do that again?
I did actually say that, yes. But however, I am an alcoholic. I'm a recovering alcoholic. I'm 14 years sober now. But it switched something in me. I was more confident. I was, you know, I had a great time. And then I didn't really drink then until I was 17, though. You know, it did put me off for about 3 years. But then 17 was when it really took off. And I did a little tweak there while before I came on. And I asked people, you know, what time did you start drinking? So people on Twitter were very helpful and said most people my age or our age past, I'm 51, right? We mostly started around 18, 19, 17, 18, 19.
Well, I'm older than you and I started when I was in college. Now, I was still 17 in college, but I can remember having the first drink when I was in first year of university.
And you see, I think now it's a bit younger, like the survey says, they are starting younger. And I actually, I go to meetings, okay, and I open one of the meetings at a treatment centre and I see them coming into the treatment centre much younger now. And it's not just alcohol. The alcohol, you lose your inhibitions and then next thing they're having cocaine, like what Dr. Mary said. You know, like it is not just alcohol. And alcohol seems to be the start of it. And because it's so acceptable here in Ireland, like I'm also an ambassador for Sober St. Patrick's Day. And, you know, it's so acceptable. Like, oh, yeah, you just get drunk on St. Patrick's Day. You know, it's just such a culture thing, I feel. Yeah. And I feel that in schools, education is key. Now, I have a 16-year-old and she has not even bothered about it at the moment. But you know yourself, that can change. No. But at the moment, she knows. She knows I'm in recovery. She knows I do the meetings. She knows, you know, she knows that's her life now, you know. And I have a wonderful life now. And I think in schools, people, like, we do talks, you know. There are talks that you go into schools and you tell people, you know, and they expect, oh, God, well, it's not going to happen to me. When I was young, I didn't think about the dangers. I just wanted to fit in. I wanted to feel confident. I wanted to blank out any feelings I had. And I think for me anyway, in particular, loneliness was a big one. And I didn't feel like I fit in anywhere into any particular slot. Like, you know, there's the cool girls, there's the cool kids, there's the nerdy kids. I didn't have any group I fit into. I always felt outside all of the groups. And I just feel that it made me fit in when I was actually drinking as much as everybody else was drinking. And, you know, I think a big thing that we need is education, but it has to be from someone who's been there or someone who has, like, there's so many young people out there. Like, I got one lady to do the chair and she was very young. She's like 23 or something. And they're the people that can make a difference to these young children.
Because they're of the same generation, more or less. And the kids can identify with them, the way they dress, the way they talk.
Exactly.
You know, everything about them, their social media use, they can say, they're similar to me. Now, how bad did it get for you? I mean, we often talk about, you know, having to hit rock bottom and being in the gutter and all the rest of it before recovery is possible. Did you ever go that low, or did you kind of cop yourself on through some other mechanism?
Well, it's funny, you know, Pat, I had two young children at the time, and I remember, like, I didn't drink every day or anything. People seem to think, if I ever see, like, meetings on a TV show or a series or a film, it's always, like, you know, real down and outs, and they're all depressed, and, you know, it's not like that at all. Like, meetings, you have people, like, I dress well, I really dress up well, I have my shower, do my hair, do my makeup, and everybody at the meeting, I remember going to my first meeting and thinking, why is everyone so happy? Where are all the depressed people? Where are all the people who, you know, that I had in my mind, the bag lady sitting under a bridge? I didn't go to that low, luckily enough. Like, I talk about, like, a train journey. There's a train journey from Dublin to Rosslare Harbour. I live in Rosslare Harbour. And I think I got out gory. You know what I mean? So I was lucky, but I can get back on that train again. It's a day of time, you know, and it's about, it, everyone has their own low. Like your low Pat could be the fact that you didn't pay the rent or the mortgage that much.
Yeah.
But whereas my low was the fact that it was a really sunny day, I had a rotten hangover, and I used to drink on a Friday night. I was really good all week. And a lot of people listening might identify with this. I was so good all week. But then I'd reward myself and get my bottle of Bacardi and my ice and my Coke. I had a little party at home and listened to music and watched TV. And, you know, the next day I was dying of a hangover. It was a beautiful sunny day. And I just felt so guilty because I knew I should have had the kids at the beach. And
yeah.
I just didn't want to do anything. And that was my rock bottom. Me.
Now, a final question really, Samantha, is about whether or not it's better that parents supervise their children's drinking as teenagers. You know, the glass of wine that the French do and add a diluted with water so it's not full strength and all that kind of thing. Or are you better off kind of not having drink at home and knowing that the kids might find drink outside a few cans in a field or whatever it might be?
Oh, well, I've no drink in the house at all, ever. Ever. Now, if there was a celebration and, you know, Christmas dinner, I like, absolutely, my family can bring drink and stuff like that. But my daughter's never really seen it. And I think it's that's what I saw young. You know, there was always parties, you know, and there was always acceptable in my family. Whereas, and I was curious about it, and I wanted to be in the centre of the buzz, you know. I wanted to be down there at the party, like, and I was only three. I remember looking through the stairs and wanting to be down at the party. I'm still a bit like that. I want to be at the party, but, you know, I do different parties. I do conferences and stuff instead, you know. But I mean, you know, it really is about what they see. It's like being a woman in business, that I'm a woman in business. The younger people can't see. They can't be what they can't see. It's like us seeing those lovely sports women like Katie Taylor and stuff. Like, if they can't see what we're doing, if you're drinking all the time, they're going to think, well, this is normal, you know.
All right. Well, look, Samantha, thank you very much for joining us. Samantha Kelly is director of Women's Inspire Network, herself a mother and 14 years sober. Thank you very much, Samantha.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.